Welcome to the Gospel of Everything podcast, where we consider everything in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am your host, John Davis. On this show, we do not obsess over the end of the world, but rather we are looking to see the glory of God show up in every area of our lives. We are not waiting to go down in glorious defeat. We are expecting to win. You are listening to part one of a two-part episode on Should We Cancel Culture? Greetings, victorious kingdom ambassadors. Welcome to the Gospel of Everything podcast, where I, your host, John Davis, and you talk about anything and everything in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Something that's been in the news and in commentary a lot lately is this idea of cancel culture. There is great concern, especially amongst conservatives and Christians, but even amongst other groups, of the increase of cancel culture in our society, where if someone has a view or says something or does something that the majority finds repulsive in some way, they get canceled. They lose their job. They get thrown off their TV show. They get removed from their social media platform, whatever it is. But I want to talk to you today about some questions regarding this. Is cancel culture an enemy of free speech that should be regulated by the government? Or maybe is it a necessary part of society? Are there some things that are just so repugnant that we don't even want people saying them? Is cancel culture a bad thing, but we need to tolerate it? Should we have cancel wars between conservatives and progressives and see who wins? I want to call your attention to the idea of long-term consequences. Right now in history, it is more your side and my side, the conservatives, the Christians, the people that are not part of the progressive humanist agenda who are getting canceled. So it is people on our side that are speaking most loudly against cancel culture and most loudly against people being removed from social media platforms. It is us right now who are trying out for this. There are many calls for government intervention, that the government needs to regulate Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Amazon and others like they are public utilities. You will often hear it talked about that these social media platforms are like the modern public square, so that if those platforms exercise censorship against people they disagree with or against people that, for whatever reason, they do not want them talking and saying things on their platform, they are basically violating their constitutional rights to free speech in the same way that as if someone were removed from a public square for saying things that people did not want to hear. But here is a question for you. If you are removed from Facebook or Twitter or YouTube, is your free speech being completely stifled? I want you to think about this. I am not convinced that we are totally stifled if we're thrown off these platforms. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not supporting the way that these big platforms have handled this. It makes me very upset. I don't like it. Makes me want to look elsewhere for social media involvement than these giant platforms. I believe that they are censoring certain viewpoints, including some viewpoints that are quite mainstream and common, and they're basically pursuing a political agenda. I don't even know if they know it or if they're just so biased that they don't even see it, and they really believe that they're trying to stop violence or something. And, you know, perhaps in some ways, in some cases, they are. But without a doubt, to me, in my opinion, conservative political speech, at least, is being silenced. You're not even allowed, for example, to question the election, this recent election. And I'm not saying anything one way or the other here, but wow, if political speech is being censored, just wow, how could anyone not be alarmed about that? I am alarmed. But I am also alarmed by how quickly conservatives, and I'm speaking mostly to Christians here, how quickly we call for the civil government to in some way intervene, regulate, rescue us. And I want to ask you to think about the long-term consequences of this. And here, let me ask you this specific question. Are future governments, in the near future, next, 20, 30 years, likely to be friendly to Christians and or conservatives, or are they likely to be more hostile? Of course, neither I nor you know what is going to happen there with upcoming governments, but what is the general trend? Are governments, local governments, county governments, state governments, national governments, likely to be friendly towards conservatives and Christians, or are they likely to be more hostile to conservatives and Christians? In other words, what is it going to mean if we ask the government to intervene and control and regulate speech, such as on social media? What is going to happen if you want to start a Christian social media platform? Or you want to start a general social media platform that is based on Christian values? What is going to happen if someone wants to come on your platform and promote racism or promote something that you find morally repugnant? I can tell you that if I started a social media platform, there would be certain things that would be censored. And it would depend a little bit on what was the overall purpose of that social media platform. For example, if I started a social media platform for the purpose of free speech and discussing religion and politics and ideas and worldview, and I wanted it to be, a place where people could debate and discuss, well, I would be significantly less inclined to censor anything. I would want to avoid censoring anything but the most horrible things, like perhaps things that promote violence or something dangerous. And I would, even with that, I would want to be careful to not use those as an excuse to silence opposing opinions. But that's just me, if that was what the platform was for. What if I wanted to create a platform for promoting and building up the Christian family and relationships between Christians and relationships between all the different parts of the kingdom of God? What if I wanted to start a social media platform like that? Well, honestly, I would be more aggressive in my censorship. I would be also wanting to censor things that are not consistent with the purpose of the platform. Other agendas, right? Oh, what if I wanted to start something just like Facebook that was for families and friends to share pictures and relate to one another and businesses to promote themselves and advertise and all of the things that Facebook does? Well, I would not want to censor political speech or religious speech to the best of my ability. But I don't really want people promoting or organizing violent actions. And that would be tricky to decide sometimes if something is going to be a violent action or what is the purpose behind them. But anything that was flagrantly trying to, create some sort of a violent action, I wouldn't want that on my platform. Would you? So I believe, and I want to submit to you this thought, that Christians right now who are calling for intervention by the government, for the most part, and I cannot judge everybody's motive, but I believe there is a significant role of fear and unbelief, as I've talked about in other episodes. Basically, we believe we're losing the culture war, and we want someone to stop it, including if that's the government. We want someone to protect us. And, that's kind of natural. But as a result, we're being very short-sighted and not thinking through what is going to happen if 30 years from now, the most popular social media platforms are run by Christians and based on Christian values and trying to run themselves on Christian values. If we work now to make sure the government is regulating and deciding what is and is not free speech and coercing social media platforms or any other kind of media to say certain things or allow certain things, that's going to come back around and haunt us. That's going to come back and bite us. And this is always the case. I have been around this world for a number of decades now. And you know what I have noticed? The pendulum keeps swinging back and forth between progressive, liberal, and conservative. I happen to believe the general trend has been a little bit more on the progressive side, with some exceptions, but the pendulum keeps swinging. So anything that either side demands now be done to their political and ideological enemies, it's only a matter of time till it's going to be done to them. It's going to come back around. So I ask you to think, as you call for censorship of Facebook and censorship by the government, I mean, censorship, maybe not the right word, intervention by the government in these things, what will be the long-term consequences? I personally would rather allow, when I say allow, I mean relative to civil government, these social media platforms to be abusive in this way. I'm not approving of what they have done, and I don't believe them that they're not politically motivated. I believe that some of them might think they are not, but they don't even know their own motivations. Let's consider some other areas of society where conservatives are loudly calling for certain government actions. Prisons, you know. Well, I don't know if conservatives are loudly calling for more prisons, but there's a general support of the prison system. I was driving down the road the other day, and I saw straight ahead of me the whole new wing, the huge new branch of the local county jail. And you know what I thought? And I happen to know that at least one of the people behind this is actually a good Christian guy. Okay? He was an advocate for this. A well-known one, a leader, a political leader in our area. But you know what I thought? Who is the prison for? Right now we're saying it's for criminals, but it bothers me that our local governments and our national government have the ability to incarcerate so many people. I'd rather they didn't even have that ability, right? So prisons are not my main issue today, but I always like to think of the long term. And I ask myself, what is going to happen with those prisons? If the governments of our nation continue to go more hostile to Christ, more antichrist, frankly, and I have a different view of the antichrist. I'm not referring to the end of time, but the spirit of antichrist, which is always opposing God's people and the work of God. But I don't want to give the antichrist powers. Every time you and I ask for the government to have power, it's a power they could use against us. It's a power that could be used against the innocent. It's a power that could be used unjustly. Now, I'm not saying that there is not a proper place for power and the ability to exercise power. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I am saying, be wary. When you're asking for something, what's going to happen when it all comes back around and you're in the jail? And not for a good reason. Not because you committed an actual moral crime, but something has been criminalized that was formerly acceptable behavior. And how about this, the border wall? I'm not going to go primarily into the border wall either, on our southern border. But I remember hearing Ron Paul say once something that really struck a chord with me. He said, keep in mind, this is not a quote, but a paraphrase. Now, keep in mind that a wall along the border will not only keep people out, but it could also keep you and me in. Now, I think the average American believes that there's so much progress in society that we could never go back to times like that. That could never happen here. Well, think about the last 10, 20 years about things that have happened that you probably thought could never happen here. Things in the law. Things, decisions the Supreme Court has made. So if we build a wall, which is a whole other topic of discussion as to whether that should or should not be done and what sort of border policy should we have, keep in mind that eventually that wall could be used to keep you and me in. You got to have a long-term perspective. Look into the future. The same thing with gun control laws. You know, we debate the immediate effect of gun control laws or trying to, you know, stop gun violence by regulating guns somehow. And once again, another topic for another time. But today's topic is have a look at the long term. Well, there were, you know, we'll never have be able to have a revolution, you know, with our guns against the government. The government's too powerful, or, you know, whatever. Whatever of the various things that you've thought. But what's going to happen in 20 years or 50 years or 100 years? What positive effect is a generally armed civilization having on our freedom, on our liberty? What could happen in the future? I'm not saying let's live in fear of the future. I'm saying let's have some wisdom. What will be the long-term consequences? Whenever you feel like saying the government should do this, or people shouldn't be allowed to do whatever, keep in mind, it could all come back around. Think not only of whatever immediate problem you're trying to solve, but what may be the long-term consequences. Okay? Another area where Christians sometimes speak up is that they don't want to be discriminated against at work for their beliefs. Or perhaps in their business, right? They don't want to be, you know, not allowed to be Christian or talk Christian at their job, right? I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want it to happen to you. I'm not saying it should happen. But let's think through everything that we have allowed regarding the government regulating who hires who. And when can you fire someone? Through specific laws, through the general culture of lawsuits. Is that really what we want? Do we really want the government deciding who can hire who? What if someone's a racist and they don't want to hire someone from a certain race? We currently have in place laws to protect people from this, and maybe that was the only way to bring the needed change. I don't know. However, let's look at the long-term consequences. We've established that the government decides who you hire, as opposed to you being able to hire whomever you want. And to be clear, so you are not confused, I am not even a teeny tiny bit suggesting that anyone should hire or not hire someone based on race. I would find that morally repugnant if you were doing that, okay? But, you know, if there was a, you know, a minority business of some kind, and they wanted to hire only minorities to work there, or people of their own specific culture or background, I'm not saying I agree with that or that it's a good idea, but I have a serious question whether or not we as a society have a right to stop them from doing that. If idiots wish to not hire someone of a certain race, I'm not convinced that we as a society have a right to stop them from doing that by the force of government, which is not our only tool. However, I do believe they should be opposed, right? Which gets back to our question of cancel culture. Should someone who hires or fires based on race be canceled? Should people avoid that business? Should people not want them on their board of directors or not want them in their golf club or whatever it is, right? Back to cancel culture. Maybe there's a time where cancel culture is good and it's better than government force or regulation. And I'm torn specifically sometimes, like if I was discriminated against at a job and they said, you know, we're sick of your religious zealot, you're fired. I am torn as to whether or not I would rather be discriminated against for the sake of preserving the liberty for anyone to hire or fire whomever they want, or fight. And I think specifically of the Apostle Paul, who exercised a right that, was it necessarily a God-given right to appeal to Caesar? It was a right within that system that he exercised. So there's maybe a time to exercise rights that aren't necessarily specific God-given rights. I don't know. But I'm talking about basically appealing to the government, the appealing to the government side of cancel culture. So talking about cancel culture in general, and I've been talking about the whole idea of what happens in the long run if we appeal to the government to save us from things, right? What happens? What's going to happen in 10 years, 30 years, 50 years, or even 100 years as a result of our cry to be under a more mighty government who will save us from the evil oppressors? I want to submit to you this idea that more than I have a specific answer to some of these social issues that I've brought up in this podcast episode, I want you to think through a core problem here, which is basically government worship, meaning the worship of the civil government or the state. What are you talking about, John? I've said that to people before and have them say, with, you know, incredulity, what are you talking about? How can you say that I'm making an idol or a messiah out of the state? Well, I want to submit that as a culture in general, conservatives, liberals, all of us, are in a state of generally attributing to government the powers that only God has. We imagine the government is capable of things it is not capable of. We imagine the government can bring about things that we believe should be brought about. We put the government higher than every other human institution. So think about this. Every time you say, well, people shouldn't be able to dot, 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 99 times out of 100, you mean the government should stop them with a law and with force and with the police, right? Or every time you say, well, that shouldn't be like that, you know, nobody should go without lunch, for example. In America, nobody should go without lunch. Well, it's possible that you mean that there's a private solution to that, but most of the time, my experience is when people say things like that, is there's this thing called the civil government or the state that they imagine is somehow going to be able to solve this problem. Why is it that we give human civil governments basically attributes like God? It's like we believe the civil government can save us from any woe in society. Why do we believe that? Well, I believe it's because in our hearts, we have made an idol out of human civil government. And it seems to me to be a direct result of neglecting the one true God. So it's like if you set aside the authority of God and his word and his law, and instead embrace humanistic ideas, you end up under the tyranny of human civil government. That seems to be what happens. You have reached the conclusion of part one of a two-part episode on Should We Cancel Culture? Thank you, friend, for taking your valuable time to listen to the Gospel of Everything podcast today. I hope you have been blessed and encouraged and have more hope for the future. Make sure right now to take a moment to subscribe in your favorite app. If you don't ever want to miss a thing, please visit gospeloveverything.com and subscribe to be notified by email as well. See you again next week for the next episode of the Gospel of Everything podcast. Be blessed.